This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Construction and Power Women Investing.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ross. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and the culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com.
Did you have a difficult Saturday?
No.
What did you do yesterday?
Yesterday...
Did you go to the... You weren't there at the sing-along, the Grease sing-along at the Loft with us.
No,
we had a great time doing that.
We had the rendezvous on 4th Avenue.
Ah.
And then afterwards we went out dancing the night away at Montgomery Court.
So you think
Monterey Court.
Monterey Court?
Yeah.
Are you thinking about going to the Apple Harvest celebration today out at Apple Annie's Orchard?
You know, I might. They had some Asian pears. I don't know if they're still available, but the Asian pears are pretty tasty.
Well, how about the today's the... last day of the 11th annual Bisbee Blues Festival. Do you know about that?
No, but that's a nice little travel down there.
Well, no. Yeah. It's at Central School Project at 43 Howell, Old Bisbee. That'd be super fun to go to today.
Yeah. That's like, what, 45 minutes away?
Bisbee, is it? Yeah, I thought it was a little longer than that.
Maybe.
It might be about an hour.
Maybe.
But, I mean, it's a beautiful drive. The weather's gorgeous. Y'all should head on down to Bisbee and check out their blues festival.
Absolutely.
That'll be a good time.
So let me finish my spiel.
Oh, yes.
Because
the people, places, events, history, and culture
to
make
did,
Tucson.
I did that. No, I did the part.
You can listen to us online.
Visit us at friendjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook.
Right.
And subscribe to this Tome of Wisdom and Entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. So, yeah, all this stuff is going on today, tomorrow. You have stuff in front of you about going on the rest of the week, right?
Well, dude, so number one, of course, the first thing that I'd like to share with everybody here on this September 13th is today is National Kids Take Over the Kitchen Day. So you probably want to let your kids take over the kitchen, but keep the sharp stuff and hot stuff away from them.
I was going to say, if you have gas stovetop, stand back.
Yeah, maybe not a good time. But it's also National Grandparents Day. So maybe you want to take grandma and grandpa and stick them in the kitchen with the kids. And because it's also National Peanut Day, have them make something out of peanuts.
You know, I love peanuts, and I have always have peanuts around me, including you.
Yes, well, and then, of course, and I'm going to do this for you later, today's also National Hug Your Hound Day, so I owe you a hug, Fred.
Yeah.
So, and of course, as you all know, this segment is brought to you by the good folks at Tucson Happenings Magazine. Check out the website, TucsonHappenings.com. You'll get a full week of all the fun things that are going on here in the Old Pueblo, like the Blues Festival, all kinds of fun stuff, Princess and the Pea at the Live Theater Workshop, cool bands going on at La Cocina downtown.
Is it actually called Princess and the Pea?
Princess and the Pea. Today's cyber world, a prince and princess can find true love with a click of a button. Not so in the days of yore. To prove worthy of a prince, a princess had to take a pee test. Oh, not that type of pee. So at the Life Theater Workshop, that should be a lot of fun. All kinds of crazy stuff going on. Today's also the Tucson ukulele meetup.
Yeah, and you
from
still
two
have,
to five.
You still have not showed up with your...
I will bring the ukulele, Fred, and regale you with a song.
Yeah, you're going to like edit in some little...
Not at all. Not trust me.
No.
Come on. I'm becoming a ukulele master.
Right.
You go see Nils Lofgren tonight at Congress, at the Rialto.
Thursday, September 17th, the Southern Arizona Arts and Culture Alliance is sponsoring Contemporary Art by Women, and that's at Waddell and Reed, just down the street from here. Kind of down the street from here.
Where is it?
It's 4703 East Camp Lowell, Suite 135.
How is that down the street from here? We're downtown.
Everything's close to downtown, Jeffrey. Anywhere is close to downtown.
Oh, Fred. You know, Bennu is not close to downtown.
Sure it is.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Size of the universe, it's seconds away. Seconds away.
Only if you're going 28,000 miles an hour.
I think it's more than that.
Yep.
Here's something we're going to be talking to Herb Stratford down the line, actually in the next couple of weeks. The Tucson Film Festivals.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's like eight of them or nine of them. This includes the Arizona International Film Festival, the Arizona Underground Film Festival, the LA Film Festival, the Native Eyes Film Showcase.
The Native Eyes?
Yeah.
I've not heard of that one.
Tucson Cine Mexico. We haven't seen, you know, we haven't talked to a lot of these people.
Yeah, we haven't heard of the Tucson Cine Mexico one.
Yeah, we
either.
Have.
We have?
We just couldn't get them scheduled.
Tucson. So then we didn't talk to them.
No, I didn't say we talked to all of them. I said we talked to some of them.
Oh, I got it.
Tucson Film and Music Festival.
Yeah.
Tucson International Jewish Film Festival.
Oh, we talked to those guys.
And Tucson Terror Fest.
Oh, we haven't talked to those guys.
Yeah, so this is actually all these guys coming together under one roof.
Didn't we talk to, who was the Scream Queen that we had on the show a couple years ago?
The Scream Queen.
Yeah, and you knew her real well, blonde gal, super cute. She came on with the
Was that Tamara?
Yes, Tamara Mack. That's right.
Yeah, actually, she produces wonderful B flicks. They're great.
Yeah.
So these guys are coming together under one roof from October 8th through the 10th at the Temple of Music and Art, showcasing what they do, and they're beginning to be showing all Tucson produced or Tucson Nexus films. So. If it may have been produced somewhere else, but the director was from Tucson or you know,
connections to the old Pueblo.
Connections to the old Pueblo.
Perfect.
So Herb will be on talking about that in a little bit. And I want to remind folks, we had the folks on from United Way about
years
a month
ago.
No,
come on. Oh, that's right. We did. She was on about 2 months ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Days of Caring is still coming up, and they're still looking for volunteers. Registration goes through September 28th. So if you want to help.
You want to help folks.
Yeah. This the November 4th and 7th. 2015 Days of Caring, contact United Way. Just go to their website and you can register to volunteer for Days of Caring.
Okay, now folks, you guys know that this is a non-political show.
What?
All we do is talk about the great things that are happening in Tucson.
Yeah.
But Fred, I got to ask you your opinion. Did you read the article in the paper the other day about the casinos no longer being able to donate money to 501c3s, that the money now all has to go through the municipalities?
You know, I you told me about that, and I didn't do any research, but my recollection is that they've always had to go through some kind of a funding agency to get funds. So I think that's actually not really different from the way things have been operating since the voters passed that initiative to have money transferred from the Indian nations to the locality.
The way I read the newspaper article, it seems to me like all that money is going to be funneled through the city and God knows what they do with the money versus sending it directly to our local nonprofits throughout the state of Arizona, because this deals with all the Indian tribes and their casino money.
Yeah. I'll tell you, this is the rationale, and because Fourth Avenue is actually looking at doing some proposals. And you have to have a partner, municipal partner, and I think they do that for accountability's sake.
But say groups like Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
Yeah, so what happens is Big Brothers and Big Sisters comes up with a program. They talk to the city of Tucson or Pima County or, you know, if it's in any other jurisdiction, say, hey, here's a proposal. We want you to be our partner. And then they say yes or no, and then if they say yes and they get approved, the money just flows through that municipality.
So it's just another layer of bureaucracy.
Yeah, but, you know, it's government.
The reason I brought that silliness up is because it's important for us to support the United Way, because the United Way kind of will help you cut through that bureaucracy and support your local charities as well.
Directly.
So, folks, lots of ways, you know, just get up and do it. Show up. That's my new term, Fred. Show up. You know, someone told me the other day, who runs the planet? People that show up for meetings. So, folks, if you want something to happen, something to change, show up. It's all you got to do.
Well,
and
you
this
know,
is a great, great opportunity.
And actually,
to show
that works really well for Fred and Jeff show, because people just randomly show up.
Yeah,
And then we're forced to put them on the air. It's awful.
Like
Hillary Van Allsburg.
Hello, Hillary.
Well, hello.
How are you
Thanks
today?
Thanks for letting me show up.
Absolutely. At our daughter's basketball game last night and our volleyball game, I'm leaving my car and I hear this, Jeff, and out races Hillary. Hey, we have so much stuff going on at the Children's Museum of Tucson. Can I get on the show sometime? I said, well, Hillary, as a matter of fact, come and see us tomorrow.
Be careful what you ask for. It'll happen right away.
Yeah, and so, all right, your title at the Children's Museum of Tucson is?
Director of Philanthropy and Learning.
Got it. All right, and what you got going on?
Just because I'm being anal right now, it's Children's Museum Tucson.
Yeah. Children's Museum Tucson. Did I say of Tucson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, if people want to write a check, they don't want to put that oven there. They can't cash the check if they do.
Oh, we can cash that check.
Oh, Fred. They'll cash the check if it says Barney Johnson on it. Don't you worry. But so what's Let's Play? Let's talk about Let's Play, an evening of play.
Yep. Evening of Play is our signature fundraiser. It's coming up on October 3rd. It's an adults-only evening at the museum where you get to come and play and enjoy all the exhibits and just have fun. There will be restaurants that come from downtown and all around, where we have great hors d'oeuvres and food and dinner items. We do an item that reflects the restaurant itself, and then we ask the restaurants to do an adult take on a childhood favorite.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's
And
really
will there
great.
Be adult beverages at this
there
event?
There will be adult beverages.
You know, when you put out a challenge like that, you know, when there's a potluck at a park, you know, everyone brings potato salad. So,
oh, they don't.
Yes, they do. That's
everyone makes salsa.
No,
my salsa and Bernie's salsa, your salsa.
Oh, Johnny makes salsa.
Johnny makes salsa. So but, we always got
so
10
salsas. I want to see how many mac and cheese recipes.
You know,
show
we
up.
Do. We do actually vet them beforehand. So if we make sure there aren't too many, you know, childhood favorite mac and cheese recipes or peanut butter and jelly recipes. But it's mostly upscale. Everything is really upscale and really wonderful and
super
unique.
Fun. And so it's Saturday, October 3rd, starts at 6:30, and it's actually at the museum.
Exactly.
Folks want more information on this event, they can just go to childrensmuseumtucson.org.
Exactly.
All right. And then if you eat too much mac and cheese, like my brother and I.
I stopped eating mac and cheese a long time ago.
Okay, then too much ketchup, because you love the ketchup.
I stopped eating ketchup, too.
Oh, God, here we go. Do you eat anything, Fred?
Peanuts.
All right. Saturday, September 19th, next week.
Yep,
a
exactly.
week from yesterday.
It's our health and wellness fair.
Yeah, you got to get out and get active. Let's get fit.
That's our health and
Tell
wellness
us
fair.
About
exactly.
this.
This is a really great event at the museum. This is for families. Come out. It's from 10 until 2. At the museum, and the whole entire day is free. So you can come to the museum and enjoy everything we have to offer. And then in our main courtyard, we'll have activities from lots of different folks that are focused on having health and wellness as their primary focus in their business.
Are you going to have, like, leftover mac and cheese?
The evening of play is after.
Yeah, evening of play is not until
October 3rd. So it's October 3rd.
It's 2 weeks later. So first we got to get fit, then we can go eat a lot of mac and cheese.
Ah, okay.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. That sounds cool. And this is one of my favorite events. You know why?
Tell me why.
It's just like my favorite type of beer.
Oh.
It's free.
Okay, very good. So Let's Get Fit is definitely free. It's all about activities and movement and making healthy lifestyle choices. We'll have jump ropers. We'll have a rock wall. We'll have all sorts of ways that you can engage and do healthy things with your family.
And, of course, when you come to this and you want to go into the museum, you can wander into the museum and check out all the fun things you have to do for the same price.
And we hope you do.
Free.
It's free.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so next Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., free admission all day. Get out, get active, and learn about staying healthy. Very important nowadays. Got to stay healthy.
Let's get fit at the Children's Museum.
You know, our Uncle Oscar just turned 104.
Oh, my goodness, that's fantastic.
He is fantastic.
What's his secret?
His secret is fast women and good whiskey, right?
No, it was tequila and cigars. That's
your interpretation, but his mouth.
No,
fast women and good whiskey.
Pen was all about the tequila and cigars.
That's
so
true.
You
he was
have
our
to
grandfather.
Come to Evening of Play because we have scotch and s'mores at Evening of Play. This is the non-kid event, of course. This is our fundraiser.
So could we have bourbon and marshmallows?
You absolutely
if you're
going to
have scotch and s'mores?
We can definitely do that.
All right, Hillary, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing the great things that you guys do at the Children's Museum Tucson. Anything else you want to add? I want to say thanks to anybody?
Actually, we have all kinds of folks that we'd like to thank, but significantly we'd like to thank Banner University Medical Center for being our title sponsor at Evening of Play.
Awesome, awesome. All right, friend of the show, Hillary from the Children's Museum Tucson.
Who just shows up.
Shows up.
Always welcome.
Thank you.
Always welcome. All right, folks, we've got to take a break. We'll be back with more here on The Fred and Jeff Show. We'll be right back.
This bit of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Unicom Graphics, Steel Door, and Sleeping.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
Hurry.
Yes, Frederick.
And we are celebrating the people,
Federico,
the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That's exactly right, Fred.
And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. So, Jeff, before the break, we were talking about...
We were talking about many things, Fred.
The people who show up.
Show up. That's my new line.
Rule
show
the
up.
World.
Just show up.
So we just showed up today.
Yes, we did.
At a downtown building.
They let us in.
Foolishly let us in. And we're here with Fletcher from Symphonia.
And our Sinfonia. It's Latin and...
Symphonia?
It's Spanish pronunciation is Sinfonia. The same pronunciation in Latin. In English, of course, Sinfonia. So, but it's the Latin and Spanish word for symphony.
Excellent. And this is the new home of one of the great benefactors of downtown. Fletcher sort of has single-handedly saved Rio Nuevo and gotten us back on track.
Yeah, but let's start a little bit earlier.
All right.
So, Fletcher, you and I were at a YMCA Hall of Fame dinner last year. And you were there representing you, and I was there representing the Sportsman's Fund. And folks, for those of you that don't know, the Sportsman's Fund is an organization that's been around for a long time, over 60 years. And all we do is raise money to send kids to camp. Some people know us as the Arizona Daily Star Sportsman's
sure.
Fund,
yeah.
Or Send a Kid to Camp. And towards the end of the night, you came up to me and you said, you know, I was a Sportsman's Fund kid.
Yeah, my grandfather moved to Tucson in 1930 as a WPA employee. He laid the sidewalks.
WPA,
you'll see the stamps on the sidewalks around town. That was his job. He made a dollar a day. So my mom was raised here. She went to Tucson High. You know, I was raised here. And, you know, Y Camp probably saved my life. I was one of those kids, you know, that went every summer to YMCA Triangle Y Camp as a Sportsman Fund kid.
Do you remember Chick Hawkins?
Sure. You know, he ran the camp, you know, but I spent the entire summers there. I wasn't there for a week or 2 weeks. I was there most of the summer, from the time I was 10 to probably 15, and then I became a junior counselor and ultimately a counselor. My first employer, the Arizona Children's Home, the director of that program was my YMCA counselor.
Okay.
So the connections between me and the Y have been 55 years in the making. So, and you know, I didn't have a father. My mother, bless her heart, was married 5 times. And the Y, and then particularly the Y camp, was kind of the stability in my life. And it really shaped me over, you know, those years at Y camp. And ultimately, I chose to get into rehab because of my experience as a counselor.
Really?
Yeah.
As a counselor at the Y?
Counselor at the Y. And then I worked for a traveling camp. Which two of the other YMCA counselors, they launched their own camp, and I worked for them for a few years. And then I worked at the Arizona Children's Home, working my way through college. I worked the 2-10 shift, went to school in the morning, and they were so pleased with me because I would show up at noon thinking that I was early for my shift. But if I got there early, I would get free lunch.
Oh, good for you. So today, camp has changed a little bit.
It's co-ed. It was, you know, we were all
boys.
Yeah. You know, we were adventuresome. Riflery, archery, hiking, overnight trips. I mean, it
horseback
was...
Horseback riding.
Horseback
yeah,
riding. You know, and I learned how to shoot a bow and arrow. I learned how to shoot a .22 rifle at the YMCA camp, you know. So things are very different. My son went to camp. He's now 26, so... Probably 15 years ago, we convinced him to go to the Triangle Y, and when he came back, I'm unpacking his stuff, and at the bottom of his suitcase are 7 clean pair of underpants. And he goes, oh, that's where those are.
Yeah, yeah, the showers weren't working this week, Dad,
yeah,
so, but the pool was good.
Yeah. But it was a great time. You know, I met a lot of people I still, you know, relate to. It set my path you know, in terms of my employment, in terms of helping people, which, you know, we still do today. I'm 66 now. So.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's a great story because, as Fred was saying earlier, you kind of helped get the Rio Nuevo project out of a rut.
Well, it's an interesting history, and there may be a legacy there someday. But growing up here, I couldn't wait to leave town. A lot of people that are locals, you know, everything else looks better. The big city, the beach, the mountains.
True.
And I got to do all that. And when we started Providence, my wife and I in 97, we moved back to Tucson. And one of the first things we did was drive through downtown, and it was entirely boarded up. You know, the Fox was boarded up, the Rialto was boarded up, all those stores, you know, Lerner's, Seal Peterson's, Hockamy's were gone. Everything else was boarded up. So I never really gave it another thought. We officed on the east side. We grew our company on the east side. I was a big fan of the Rio Nuevo initiatives because you saw other cities, you know, Austin and Baltimore and San Diego, you know, develop their downtowns. And, you know, the company became incredibly successful. So in 2010, we opted to relocate downtown. And that was really the beginning for me of my kind of reconnecting to downtown.
But it's an interesting, you know, how all of that kind of fell in place. Because, you know, as you may remember, as Fred was on the council, Fred was one of the guys that you were instrumental in the creation of the Rio Nuevo.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people, but in 97 is when we actually got the enabling legislation from the state legislature and then put it on the ballot.
And then you were summarily kicked off the city council?
No, that was like 6 years later.
But it started out...
I mean, no, it was 1999 that happened.
Well, it started out this grandiose idea with aquariums and bridges and all kinds of crazy stuff, and then it kind of spiraled into oblivion and lots of bad press and disappearance of all kinds of funds. It was just a train wreck. And, you know, and so when we come back from the break, we want to kind of, you know, help folks understand how it's gone from this kind of a poor term to something that folks can be proud of, and you were a big part of that.
Sure.
So folks, stick around because we've got lots more to come here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Frog Farms.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Ronstadt Insurance, and Casa de la Luz Hospice.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And you know our buddy Lorenzo over at Vanishing Tucson?
Yes.
So it's interesting. Today we're
I sent you that email.
What email?
The email about the university doing the history of Tucson, bringing your cool Tucson stuff.
Yeah.
Did you read that?
No, I don't read anything you sent me.
Beautiful. So anyhow, Lorenzo.
So we're sitting here downtown.
Yes.
In the Sinfonia building. But do you remember back when we were kids what this building was?
I do not. I remember going down to the old hardware store and running around like crazy people.
Right.
As Grandpa used to call us, Apaches.
Yes.
You're running around like wild Apaches.
Yeah.
But no, I do not remember what this store was.
This was the old Army Surplus store.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it actually had real Army Surplus.
I remember going in there and playing with like old German helmets.
Yeah, it was you know, all sorts of cool stuff. And actually, these were selling parachutes, and Dad got upset because one of his staff employees at Parks and Rec wanted to buy you and I parachutes, and he's like, "You will not buy them parachutes because they'll get on the roof and try and use them."
That would have been good.
Yeah,
time.
So this is the old Army Surplus store, but now it's the home of Sinfonia, and we're sitting here talking with Fletcher McClusker, who is the CEO and a great, one of the great benefactors of the city of Tucson, Neil Pueblo.
Right. Yeah. One of the things, folks, that we've been talking about, Fred and I have been talking about as we kind of vet shows for you all, is who is it that we can bring to you, introduce you, that you might not get
okay,
to?
Okay. First question is, who will take our call?
This is true. Sometimes we have to pretend like we're the gas company.
You just won $100.
You have to meet these two guys to do a radio show to collect, though. So we've talked about having all kinds of Tucson philanthropists and business leaders and, you know, folks, just your neighbors that are doing a great job making Tucson a great place to live. And what do you know? Here we are in Fletcher McClusker's office. And Fletcher, old sportsman's fun kid, went to the Triangle Bay Ranch Camp, grew up with one of my mentors, a guy named Chick Hawkins, who some of you old-time Tucsonans will remember Chick as the major domo at the YMCA. I'll never forget showing up to work, because I was a counselor at Jacobs YMCA in high school, and I was habitually late for whatever reason. And I'd walk through the door, and there would be Chick with his arms folded looking down at his watch, shaking his head, you know, every time. Didn't matter if I was 5 seconds late or 5 minutes late, he would be standing there shaking his head, wondering how I'm ever going to make it through life. And then before Chick passed away, he asked me to be on the Sportsman's Fund board, which I've been on for, it's probably been 25 years plus. But Fletcher, you were a Sportsman's Fund kid, and now here you are. And so let's get back to your history. So you're a kid growing up in Tucson. Your dad, you're living at the camp, your mom's working hard to raise a great kid, you kind of drink the purple Kool-Aid of the YMCA, which is a great thing to do, and you leave town, you go to college. Where'd you go to college?
I went to U of A. I worked my way through school working at the Arizona Children's Home, and, you know, I had to. I couldn't afford school without working, so I graduated from the U of A, barely. I graduated with a 2.75 GPA. And I couldn't get into our own graduate school because my grades weren't good enough. However, ASU would take me.
What do you know? Was it still known as Tempe Normal back then?
Yeah, so my graduate work I did at ASU.
Okay, this is like perfect. So we have testify that U of A won't take us, but ASU will.
Yeah. I met Michael Crow a year ago or so, and he's very prepared when he meets you. And he says, oh, I see you're an ASU graduate. And I said, only because I couldn't get into the U of A. You know, and he said, well, okay, well, let's just kind of leave that alone. You know? But and then, you know, as a lot of kids, I don't know how your family, you tend to embrace Tucson maybe more than others, but, you know, Linda moved away. And at some point, we all kind of grow tired of Tucson. And I couldn't wait to leave. You know, I wanted to live in the mountains. I wanted to live in the beach. So as I advanced in my career, I lived in Phoenix for a while. I lived in Tulsa. I lived in Houston. And when we decided to start our own company, my wife and I were looking at an atlas. And I said, honey, you pick where you want to live. You know, we're going to start our own company. We can live anywhere we want. You know, you've talked about New York, or maybe we go to L.A. And she points to something in the south and says, why don't you go home? And that was 1997. So we came back to Tucson. A lot of that had to do with our son. He was 4 at the time. And she said, you know, you didn't turn out so bad. Let's raise our kid in Tucson, you know. So we moved back and grew a business. And there was no reason to come downtown unless you were on jury duty or, you know, paying a traffic
right.
fine
Absolutely.
Or something like that. You know, yeah. It was nothing that you ever embraced. And, you know, Rio Nuevo just kind of spiraled out of business. Through a lack of accountability and a lack of focus, you know, they blew through their money, and they were very lucky to survive the legislature, you know, because 10 years later, you know, after the money started flowing, you know, there really wasn't anything you could point to that said, look, this was incredibly successful. Where other communities around us, from Waco to Albuquerque to Austin, they were revitalizing their downtowns incredibly successfully and attracting this kind of millennial urban hipster that wanted to live and work downtown, and Tucson just absolutely blew it. And, you know, I was sitting at home one day and the phone rang. It's a funny story. The operator said, will you please hold for the president? And I go, Liz, the president of the United States is calling me. And he said, hi, this is Steve Pierce. And I go, oh, that president. And, you know, he said, I just want you to know I'm appointing you to the Rio Nuevo board.
Now, wait a second. For folks that don't know, Steve Pierce
was the president of the Senate.
Right.
Of Arizona State Senate.
Right.
And I said, are you asking me or telling me? And he said, well, if we don't get some business people on this thing, we're going to shut it down because it's just going nowhere. So, you know, they appointed several of us who have skin in the game, as they say, who are have Tucson roots or are business savvy. And he said, you have 6 months. And if you don't show us some, we're going to shut the TIF down. And that would have been the end of Rio Nuevo. So,
and the TIF is the
Tax Incentive Financing District, which this is state tax money. A lot of people don't appreciate that. But we get a percentage of state tax dollars who from downtown all the way to Park Place Mall. And the intent of that money is to reinvest it in downtown development. And, you know, very little of that happened in, you know, the first 10 years of Rio Nuevo. So we decided we would focus on some things that had made a difference. And, you know, the city and...
Well, I know that's a long story and a lot of hard work, but when you say focused on some things that would make a difference, such as?
A hotel. Not a government-owned hotel, but a private sector hotel. The renovation of the TCC. It was blackballed by most promoters, you know, and while we were scattering around trying to build aquariums and IMAX theaters,
right,
and Indian villages,
bridges
you,
to
you
nowhere,
know, the Live Nation would go from Phoenix to Albuquerque because our arena became so obsolete they wouldn't stop here anymore, you know. So we just wanted to get something built and done and then be able to go to the legislature with some credibility and say, look, this is really where we can focus. The most meaningful trip for me in that process is we went to San Diego, which was also a TIF, Tax Incentive Financing District. For every dollar the San Diego TIF invested, private developers would invest six.
Wow.
So we came back with this attitude that what we need to do is find partners. You know, the government can't do all this by ourselves. And that's true if you look around downtown. The successful things down here are private sector driven. The government is not behind most of the success downtown. So we began to look at projects where we could partner, and the AC Hotel, which is Marriott owned, is one of those. And we're working with folks on the west side, and we're trying to work with Humberto Lopez. You know, these, you don't get to pick the property owners downtown. You kind of got to deal with some very colorful personalities, you know, but we're really striving now to bring all these projects back to life.
Well, Humberto Lopez is one of the top philanthropists in Pima County as well. I mean, he's the first guy that opened his checkbook for great causes. And what you're referring to is Hotel Arizona.
Sure, it's boarded up. And you know, he insists that he can't operate it. And you'll hear that a lot downtown from lenders, private developers. You know, it takes a syndicate of things to really pull this off. Lenders are very skittish about our downtown still. So, you know, projects like the AC Hotel have city money, Rio Nuevo money, HUD money, private sector dollars, and bank financing. And that's really the only way projects are going to go forward, is to be able to pull all of that together. So our new role is to partner with those kind of people and with lenders and others to help them pull projects together.
And has the streetcar been a big plus for helping that happen?
If you talk to any of the restaurants along the line, any of the nightclubs that are developed, they want it to be on the streetcar. So it's not coincidental that Hi-Fi or Proper or the Playground Hub or any of those things. You know, that was waterfront property to those guys. They knew there was going to be demand created the streetcar, and it would create mobility, particularly for young people that wanted to migrate from Main Gate to 4th Avenue to downtown to the Mercado. And we just had our millionth rider. So it's incredibly successful in terms of being able to create a, you know, a way for people to get around these kind of downtown core areas. And, you know, most of the people that have developed a business would say, yeah, we wanted to be on the streetcar lot. You know, so it doesn't go anywhere. It's more of a Disneyland ride than it is a mode of transportation. But, it, you know, it has really added to the chemistry and uniqueness and, you know, hipness of our downtown, you know, and it's clearly working.
That's awesome. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. We got lots more, so stick around for more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
When I grow up to be a man, will I dig the same things that turned me on as a kid?
then. I wish I hadn't done what I did.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony's Cigar Emporium, Power Women Investing, and Mayfield Florist.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
That's exactly right, Hank.
And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on TuneIn Radio and iTunes. Now, Jeff, we're sitting downtown in the Sinfonia building with Fletcher McClusker, who is, you're the chairman of the Rio Nuevo Board, but you're also the CEO of Sinfonia.
Correct.
And a great driver of the downtown
experience. Yeah, and so earlier, Fletcher, we were talking about how the Rio Nuevo kind of got out of the rut, and now it's a successful operation. Downtown has changed. There's this great vibe. You know, Fred and I are friends of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. They've been, you know, friends of the show for years. And so where do you see downtown 10 years from now?
And it's not so much me. I mean, it's people who are watching us. There was in the current issue of Global Traveler magazine, they're featuring Seoul, Korea, Bermuda, and Tucson, Arizona. And we're beginning to get on the radar of that as maybe the next Austin. And it's about food and music and hipness and an eclectic environment. You know, and we're seeing that now. The Rialto is one of the most successful concert venues in the country. The Fox now is profitable and relatively full, booked most of the time.
Which is great.
Extraordinary.
Awesome.
You know, there's 7 concerts coming into the arena. This was an arena that had been passed over for El Paso or Albuquerque or Palm Springs. So, you know, the symphony, the ballet, the theater. We know that downtown can be a huge entertainment zone. And then the rest of it is just, you know, does that create residential demand, living demand, corporate headquarters? There's still only 2 or 3 of us that are actually headquartered down here. We're beginning to see all that happen. So I believe in not even 10 years, in 5 years, we will be the next Austin or Portland or the Gaslamp District of San Diego. We're a smaller footprint, but it'll be just as active and just as busy. And thank God for, you know, people like Janos and Maynard's. You know, they have a high bar now. This is a real food destination. And people come from all over the region now to our downtown restaurants. And for the first time, if you're going to a concert at the Fox, you'll go to dinner first, or maybe you get a drink afterwards. And we now know the economics of that. For everybody who comes downtown, they spend on the average about $30. So that's the Rio Nuevo story, is that that investment will create additional revenue that creates additional tax that continues to pile back into our downtown.
So, and now, is $30 a good number?
$30 is a great number. You know, I mean, that's $30 a head, you know, and, you know, the Fox now is at 100,000, you know, visitors. The Rialto's over that, you know. You know, we're really beginning to see there were 500,000 attendees to the TCC this last year, 500,000 people. You know, that's more than it's ever seen. You know, so there are a lot of positive signs that, you know, our core downtown district is going to be really important. Second Saturday now draws 20,000 people.
It's a great event.
To a Second Saturday event. And in the first event, I think there were 900 people. So, you know, we're beginning to see residential development, and that was the key, ultimately.
Always has been the key.
Yeah, we're, you know, Halu'aloha is building 25 market-rate townhomes right on Stone and Broadway. Kaler is building another apartment complex. You know, you've got people now who are investing in residential, which ultimately is what turned San Diego and Austin and places, Portland, where you could live and work. And
we got a grocery store downtown.
We have a grocery store, yeah, now too.
Great grocery store.
you know, named after one of our favorite people growing up.
Yeah, old Johnny Gibson.
That's right.
Yeah, so there's a village of people now down here who really want to see downtown be successful, and they tend to be young and entrepreneurial, risking their own money. You know, that's the irony to me of Rio Nuevo, is if it had succeeded, we would look very different. We'd have these kind of monolithic museums and, you know, aquarium and, you know, a Native American village. They would be tourist attractions, but they are not sustainable when they're run and owned by the government. All of this private sector development has kind of backfilled because of the failure of Rio Nuevo, and we now have a very sustainable downtown. You know, when one restaurant closes, there's another one right there.
Ready to go.
Ready to go, you know. So, you know, Elvira's is coming up from Tubac. You've got a great interest now in people outside of Tucson. 3 years ago, 5 years ago, the activity down here was native. It was Tucsonan, you know, it was people like Ron Schwabe and Richard Osaran and me. And, you know, now you're seeing people from all around the world looking at Tucson as a place to build, develop, and run a business.
That's awesome. And so as a kid in camp, did you ever envision yourself 50 years later being in this position?
I was just trying to stay on the horse, you know.
Target.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I don't think anyone ever imagined, A, that you would be in a position to really influence the development of the city that you grew up in. And, you know, that's really what I'm passionate about now, is the opportunity that I've been given to give back. And, you know, it does become a responsibility that a lot of us share, is that, you know, it's going to take the private sector to really build and create a thriving, sustainable environment. And, you know, there might have been three of us, you know, 5 years ago. There's 30 of us today.
That's fabulous.
You know, that are marching to the same drum.
So what would a good piece of advice be that you could give to a young person coming out of school, and a good kind of track for them to have a meaningful life, making their community a great place to live?
Surround yourself with smart people. You know, you've got to check your ego and know that you can't do it yourself.
Old Teddy Roosevelt saying.
Yeah, you've got to be around really smart people who, and we've always had a shared ownership environment. You know, we create a lot of opportunities for our people to own the company, and we did that as a public company at Providence. I think someone told me at one point we made 400 millionaires at Providence.
Wow, you know, that's great.
And, you know, we're doing it again with this company. So sharing the wealth is important, and, you know, being involved with, you know, something that you believe in. And, you know, we've become quite passionate about our community, and it's become contagious.
That's great. Well, thanks for what you do, because you're making a huge difference. And by the way, we've mentioned it 50 times. What does Symphonia do? What do you guys do?
We're a healthcare company, but we're a unique healthcare company in that we don't own or operate anything, you know, with institutional capacity. So we run home health and hospice. We manage pharmacy benefits for people around the country. We opened the first integrated mental health clinics in the country, both here and in Phoenix. So we're looking for, and of course, you know, healthcare today is just unbelievably topical, but we're looking for ways to innovate within the healthcare environment. So we're looking at genomic medicine, we're looking at, you know, new drugs, we're looking at new ways to deliver utilization review and medication management, and we're collaborating with the U of A in a lot of this. You know, the U of A is now very interested in monetizing their intellectual property. You know, we've never in the past really done that. Stanford and MIT and Chicago and Colorado are places where faculty would migrate to. Our university now is determined to invent and create market demand for their activity, and we're very much a part of that. We're now the largest spin-out from a University of Arizona-based technology.
That's awesome. Well, so congratulations.
We need to do the bring this around circle, full circle, Sportsman's Fund.
Right. So, folks, Fletcher, you're the poster adult of sending kids to camp. So, folks, if you want to make a difference in some kid's life, and who knows, they could be the next Fletcher McClusker, go to azsendakidtocamp.org. We'll have the link on the Friend Jeff Show webpage, and make a donation to the Sportsman's Fund, Send a Kid to Camp. The donation qualifies for the tax credit for the working poor, so you get a credit in your Arizona state taxes. It's a great organization. 98.5 cents on every dollar that's donated goes to send kids to camp. It's phenomenal. And think about the difference in a kid's life that you could make just by redirecting some of the money that the state of Arizona would get to send a kid to camp. Fletcher, thanks a ton for what you do.
Thank you for everything you guys did too.
Yeah, thanks. And we got a gift certificate for lunch or breakfast for two to the Tohono Chul, the bistro at Tohono Chul. Fred, what number should folks call to get that?
520-428-5104 is the number they call, and that's 520-428-5104.
And we want to say thanks to the Hartenbox, our friends of the show, for letting us send you guys out to the bistro to enjoy a breakfast or lunch for two. And folks, we'll see you again next week here on the Fred and Jeff Show. And remember, show up, get involved, get out there and make Tucson a great place to live. And we'll talk to you next week.
Let's talk about the good time. Let's talk about the good time. I wish I could just go back to the days I'm speaking of. When a friend would meet you and a smile would greet you. What this old world needs now, old-fashioned love. Ain't it guitar, yeah. Preach it, son.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Sleeping Frog Farms and Fred's Meditation Salon and Tequila Lounge.